This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Okay, Rach.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different today because you're taking the lead.
That's right, it is.
Just like you hoped.
And all I can say is that not once did I say, get ready, or Cheryl, that's a spoiler. Spoiler alert, not once.
Okay.
I didn't call you out.
Okay.
I just let it flow.
Well, we'll see if the listeners like it or not.
I think they're going to dig it. Okay.
They may or may not. Oh.
I just hope they don't have FOMO.
We talk a lot about FOMO.
Yeah. And you're not going to want to miss this one, because then you're going to have a major fear of missing out.
You might be diagnosed with FOMO.
We talk a lot about Paris Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
We talk a lot about
stolen goods.
Yep. So, ladies and jerks, welcome to The Ringleader, the case of the Bling Ring.
Rachael.
Hi. Cheryl. Hi. Shirley Hines.
Rachael Harris.
Yes.
I just want to let you know, we left off where I was going to see the Oracle.
Yes. Yes.
I wanted to give you an update.
Please.
Okay.
Give me an update on the Oracle.
She was a lovely, lovely lady. Very
Dude.
Lovely. I enjoyed talking to her.
Right.
We met in my office, and at the beginning she said, is it going to bother you if, you know, sometimes during this session I might levitate?
Tell me that, even personally. I love that you say it. Okay.
Yeah. So she said, you know, I might come off the ground a little bit and float up. And I was like, bring it on. Let's bring it on.
Yeah, and I would have been like, you know what? This is me. I got to go.
Rachel, you would have been like, I don't want any part of this voodoo.
No. I would have been like, peace out. Enjoy that. Have fun levitating. I don't need to see it.
Okay. If someone told you they could levitate, you would not stick around to watch it?
No.
Rachel.
Cheryl. I don't need to see that. I don't want to be around that. I don't want something in my brain that can't understand what the fuck just happened or how that happened. My brain doesn't do well with that. That's why I'm a complete control freak.
If I told you.
It's not cute.
Let's turn down the lights. I can levitate off the ground a few inches. You would be like, I'm going home.
Yes. That's why I can't do horror movies. I got freaked out just seeing the marquee for Carrie when I was a kid.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
Driving down High Street, seeing Carrie, I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to start becoming like that person.
Oh, that's why you can't watch scary things, because you think that you're going to, like, your soul will be possessed, or you think,
yes.
Oh, it probably already is, and now I'm triggering it.
Or my child's possessed. Hi. Oh. Like, what's going to happen? Like, I'm like, what's going on? Even though nothing like that has ever happened in our lives. You know what I mean? Like, nothing like that has ever happened in our lives. We're old enough to know.
Yes.
Right?
Well, that's why when the Oracle... So when she said she was going to levitate off the ground, I was like,
you said,
okay.
I'm in.
Bring it on. I can't wait. And she took her shoes off and she was like, do you mind if I take my shoes off? And I was like, Not at all. I want you to be, you know, comfortable.
Yeah.
While you connect.
While you levitate. Yeah.
And she would stand next to me, and then sometimes she would talk, and she would go up on her toes and back down and up on her toes. And I was like, oh, okay.
That's the levitating. Okay. That's the levitating that she's talking
okay,
about.
Okay, yeah. So I was like, okay, nothing okay. to be scared about.
I just
want to
understand the going up on the toes. Would she be like mid-sentence? And
yeah.
And would she hold it like she was on point?
She'd hold it for a few seconds. Like she mm-hmm. was, that's when she would be getting a message. It would be coming through to her and she'd go up and then she'd say, yes. And then she'd come back down and deliver the message.
I really wish that we were filming these, that people could see how you're acting it out, like you're doing the physicality of it, because it's insane. But you and I talked about this. She knew yes. who you were
yes.
when you met her.
What's interesting is when she asked me if I had any questions, and I was like, well, I mean, what do you think is going to happen in the next year?
Right.
And she was basically, she basically said, does anybody really want to know their future?
And you're like,
oh,
what are we doing?
I guess it's,
what are we doing? But my mind also goes to, oh, that bad, yeah. huh? That bad.
That bad. Ooh.
So you don't tough. Want me to, you don't want me to know.
Okay. Well, she did tell me, she got some messages and mm-hmm. one was she thought that I liked to read a lot. Keep in mind, I was in my office, which is surrounded by books.
Right.
I was like,
but you don't read.
I don't read that much.
You don't read.
I said, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. We're not bookworms.
You wouldn't call us bookworms. Mm-mm, and then she said, well, what else? You know, do you have any questions? And I said, you know, I don't know. What about my career? What do you see? And then she would levitate.
Levitated. She went up on her toes.
Yep. She would say.
Sure hope she doesn't have bunions.
She All right. said she sees projects.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
So that came to her, which was great.
Can we also say that we had said before you went, like, we'll know she's legit
mm-hmm.
if you hear a code word
yeah.
from her, from yeah. Paul and Eddie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the first thing I asked you after you said, I saw the oracle, I was like, did she say the code word? And what did you say?
Uh-uh.
No. No. No, she did not.
She didn't
She did the... not connect with two people that if they knew there was an oracle
in my
or a
office,
psychic.
They would be like
they'd
in
be
here.
Pounding on the door.
They'd be like, they'd be Cheryl, like, what is happening in your office?
They would be the first people to pop up and be like, we're fine. Hey, we missed you, girl.
Hey,
what's up?
I know. And she said, you know, is there anyone that you want to connect with? And I said, well, my friends, Paul and Eddie. And mm-hmm. she goes up on her toes. And she said, well, let's do one first. And I said, okay, how about Paul? Up on her toes and back down. And she said, yes, Paul was very sweet. I said, Matt. Not what
he wasn't.
Not what he was known
for. Describe him.
No, so you said Paul wasn't the sweet one. I said you might be thinking about Eddie. She's like,
oh
yes.
God, you're letting her off the hook. That's yes. horrible.
Well, it's too uncomfortable. You're like, you know, a foot away from somebody who's giving it their all, and I'm just like, all right.
Especially because she's barefoot.
Well, she, in all fairness, she had socks.
Okay.
On.
What kind? What did her socks look like? I'm just dying to know.
Just dark socks, because she had some sort of boot, but you know, like a long skirt, as you would imagine.
Oh, yeah,
some
sure.
layers, like some layers.
Oh yeah, she's like Stevie Nicks if she's an oracle.
Just like the white windows, Santa's on
your sound.
Ooh, baby, ooh, zidoo. So anyway, that was
your oracle.
My oracle. Basically, does anybody really want to know what their future holds? You have projects coming up and you like to read.
God damn, you learned a lot.
I did. I learned a lot about myself and about the universe.
And about the future.
Would you just be like in tears at the end of that reading, Rachel? You'd be like, oh my God.
No, I would
be relieved.
What
does all that mean?
I'd be relieved that she was a fraud. And I'd be like, great.
Okay.
That's
I did
great.
Not use that word. And if you're listening, well, I did. She might be listening.
She might be listening. And I wasn't there. But I'm just saying, if someone said to me they're an oracle, that they can tell you what your future holds, they can help guide you toward things that are going to bring life. If they said to me, first of all, I'm so crazy, that if they said to me, does anybody really want to know what the future holds for them? I'd be like, oh, my God, I'm fucked. She can't tell me. She sees it and she's like, I've got to backtrack. I've got to backpedal. And just like.
Well, let me ask you this. If she said that and then she went on to say, I see projects in your future. I think you like to read. Would that still have been scary to you that she said, does anyone really want to know what their future holds?
No, that's true. I would have been like, I'm ready to move on. But thank you. And then I would have said something like, listen, this is unexpected, but I need to use the restroom and I think I have diarrhea. And I would have said, I'm so sorry. We have to like table this. And I would have said something like, you know, I'll call you if we can reschedule.
I'll call you. Otherwise, I've got a bad stomach situation.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't lie. You just said you would tell her you have diarrhea.
Well, I would say, I think.
Oh.
I think I have diarrhea. I'm not going to fuck my karma by lying. Like,
yeah,
I would just say, I think
I
just don't feel well. And then I'd come out and I'd say, you know what? It's best if we just, I need to reschedule, which would be the truth.
And then you have to reschedule.
But then I would just keep saying.
Diarrhea is still here.
Yeah. Or then I'd say, you know what? I just don't think I want to reschedule at some point.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Listen, it was a lovely experience regardless. She was a lovely person.
Great.
Like the energy she's putting out there.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, I knew our listeners were dying to know.
I know.
Dying to know.
They've been writing in like crazy and calling.
Like crazy.
Yeah, they've been calling our call line.
Rachel, look, we should get right to it. Although you're the one that's driving the train today.
I am. I'm so excited.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. I am. Mm-hmm.
Because last week, I think you were criticizing me for something, and I said, fine.
I can't remember. I don't even remember what it was.
Why don't you do it yourself? And you said, fine, I will.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'll do color, and you do.
Yeah.
You do the outline.
Exactly. And then I showed up today, and I was like, oh, I didn't print it out. I forgot.
Yeah.
I thought you were doing it.
We had to hold for you to print.
Yeah.
I like that you don't even print it out when it's not you reading
I do
it.
Sometimes, but today, I mean, I read it, though. Like, I read it before.
All right, Rachel. All right. Well, you want to lead us
right
in.
That's like the school teacher that's like, I love her school teacher tone where she's like, okay. All right.
All right.
So. All right, here we go. Ready?
Yeah. Yes.
So this is true story, the ringleader, the case of the Bling Ring. All right, so the ringleader, the case of the Bling Ring is a 2023 documentary directed by Aaron Lee Carr, whose previous credits include Britney versus Spears and Mommy Dead and Dearest. The film features Rachel Lee, the so-called mastermind behind the Bling Ring robberies, who discusses her involvement in the crimes for the first time on camera. The ringleader is available to watch on Max. All right, so we have the description, right, of the Bling Ring.
Uh-huh.
Let's hear this. The Bling Ring described. Okay. Let's hear it.
Yeah, a little clip.
The Bling Ring is a media sensation. The Bling Ring is the name of a movie.
The Bling Ring was one of the first big social media crimes. It was juicy in all the right ways. The Bling Ring is a group of young people in their late teens.
Rachel Lee, Nick Prugo, Alexis Nyers, Courtney Ames, Roy Lopez, and Diana Tamayo.
Wasn't there another guy, Ajar?
Yes, Johnny Ajar. In the late 2000s, these kids robbed a bunch of celebrities that they wanted to emulate.
I just have to talk about that clip for a second because that the guy, I guess he's a journalist. I don't know him, and I don't know what his personal situation is. However, it feels like he might have a perm.
Yes.
And
like you, he has a lot of books in his
background.
He
has a lot of books. But I just wanted to let people know that I think the male perm is coming back.
Yeah.
I was at the hair salon, and there was a guy with perm rods. in his hair.
No, no, you did
yes,
not.
I,
no,
yes, he, that happened. No, he, in Brentwood.
How old was he? How old was he?
He was probably 30. And I'm like, whoa, okay, 30. a young perm.
Yeah, well, I've seen a lot of young kids like in high school, right? With the long, like bushy black hair. And they kind of cut it on the sides.
Guys?
Yeah, guys. And they're letting it grow out like really long. And it sort of reminds me of Bill Bixby, like in The Hulk. Remember?
Yeah,
everybody gets that, right?
But did
I just really dated myself.
Curly hair, did he?
Or maybe it wasn't Bill Bixby. Maybe it was the dad on Brady Bunch. Remember when he had sort of like a perm?
I think you're thinking of the dad on the Brady Bunch movie that they did, like not that long ago.
No, I'm thinking of the show. But Gary Cole, I think, played the dad
that had
in the Brady
like,
Bunch movie, right?
Which, by the way, right. Gary Cole, how cute is he?
I mean, he's the cutest on the planet. He's like the greatest.
He's the greatest.
But the perm, I think, really, I wonder, we should Google that and see like.
We won't.
If the male perm is coming back.
Nobody's doing that kind of work.
No,
Rachel, we have to take a break.
Nobody's going
to
do that. Oh, shoot.
You want to throw it to a break?
Oh, sure. I'll throw it to a break. All right. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back with more Cheryl and Rachel discussing.
The ringleader.
The ringleader.
And perms. Okay.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
And we're back.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Getting right to it. Okay,
all right, so, kids.
But you didn't see the first. You didn't see the first movie.
I didn't see the first movie.
But
no,
you caught right up on this.
Absolutely. Very, very quickly. It wasn't hard. It wasn't hard to figure out what happened in the first film. Because basically it was a retelling of the first film.
It really
like,
was.
Of what happened.
Even though they're saying, wow, Rachel Lee didn't talk.
That was the hook.
That was
It was
the
like
hook.
Rachel Lee didn't talk. Right. So she's now, but now she has.
And she's going to tell all.
Yeah. We meet Rachel and she says there's a Hollywood version of the story. And a real version of the story.
So I was like, I cannot wait.
I cannot wait. Me too. I was like, I cannot wait to figure out
the
what was
inside.
And I don't feel like I really got an inside scoop other than a little more like her story. It wasn't like it was like her real version. Does that make sense? Like her personally, what happened to her?
Yes.
What I found interesting is when she walks in, like the buildup to where we meet her.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why we saw her putting crystals in a place and then washing windows.
The windows.
I was like, what's the documentarian's point of view on this? Like, are we just, is it just like robbers? They're just like us. Like they have to
they
clean
wash
windows.
Their windows too.
And they put their crystals out.
I was wondering that too.
Or is it that she's grounded now?
And was that her house? Because I was like, that's a nice house for Los Angeles.
That's a nice house also for a convicted felon.
Well, you're jumping
convicted
ahead.
Felon, right? Mm. I don't know. Well, we know. But we already know the bling ring. Well, she did get it. But then when she walked in, nothing in the room.
No.
Except this weird, it wasn't even like a stool. It was like just like a,
I don't know.
What do you call that? Is that like a yoga thing or?
I don't know what that was.
It was like a meditation chair.
Oh, is that what it is? Like a meditation chair. Okay. That's so
we were thinking, okay, Rachel has really become this other person.
Yes. Not me, but that Rachel.
No, the Rachel Lee.
That Rachel. Rachel Lee.
However.
Yeah.
The more she talked, the more it was like, I don't know if Rachel's really changed that much.
They alluded to her being a hairstylist now.
Right.
And that she's like goes into a salon and she's terrified that people are going to recognize her from being in the Bling Ring. From being like that whole thing.
Right.
But I still want to talk about the fact that that entire room was empty.
Yes.
She walked in. She sat down on that poof.
Yeah.
And then she goes, hi, everybody. Or like, hello, everyone. And I'm like, was that to us, the audience, or was that to, like, the crew that was doing?
I don't know.
At any rate, so Rachel Lee was known as the ringleader in the mastermind. What I found fascinating is that she said Rachel's parents divorced when she was one. Mm-hmm. After school, she'd come home alone and snoop through her mom's stuff. This was in Calabasas, I think, right? And she said
she
found a briefcase with a fresh stack of $100 bills, and she took one, and she slid it off, and she's like, ooh. She's like, I liked the fact that I could get away with it and that my mom would be like, it's just one.
Right.
Like, she's like, my mom's never going to know. And also that her mom had a stack of $100.
I know. Why did her mom, who was an attorney, her mom,
right.
Which I thought was interesting too, that her mom is a defense attorney.
A defense attorney, yes.
A defense attorney is getting paid in cash.
I mean, I don't know.
That's a documentary I want to see.
That's the documentary.
But like a stack of what, of hundreds? That's a lot of.
Yeah. I think there's something to the fact that her parents got divorced when she was one. Her dad was a gambler, she said, mm-hmm. and an alcoholic, and wasn't there for her.
Yeah.
So that's already like an addictive personality, right? Mm. If you're a gambling addict, Rachel started to have those same kind of tendencies where she got a rush. And she also started taking, she said, what I found fascinating is that a lot of this she was saying the reason that she was doing all the burglaries and stuff happened when she was on Xanax.
Yeah.
Which I think.
Okay. Yeah,
I know.
By the way, I don't know that much about Xanax, I'll be honest. But it doesn't have a reputation for making people want to get crazy.
No.
Like go out and party all night. Because she was like, it just made me want to party all night. It's like, what?
Yeah, she said it made her feel like she didn't have a care in the world.
Yeah.
So I think it made her not have a conscience.
By the way, when Rachel Lee was saying, you know, the Xanax, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Where's the spiritual growth here? Because I feel like she's already saying, I did it because of the Xannies.
The Xanax.
Is that what people call them?
Oh, God, I just love that you tried to, like,
be cool.
Make it, like, street. Like, you tried to call it, like, a street drug. I'm like.
You're like, please don't. Do people call them that? Xannies?
I have no idea. Maybe they call them Xannies. They could be, like, X. Oh, no, that's ecstasy. Yeah.
Although that's, like, old school ecstasy. Now it's Molly.
Oh, God. See, look at you go.
I really know my street drugs.
Yeah, you really do. Okay, so when Rachel was 14, she was offered the pills at the party. Taking Xanax took away all her cares, mm-hmm. and she could act the way she wanted to, which was to party. Rachel's true nature was to be a follower, she said. She was introduced to cocaine and Parliament cigarettes. Do you like the judgment that came out of my voice when I said that?
Well, by the way, I like that the whole time she's been labeled as the mastermind behind the Bling Ring. And so now this whole documentary is about her being the mastermind. And she's like,
right.
I'm really a follower.
And she's like, I just wanted to be like popular. She was like, I'm Korean.
Felt like she didn't fit in Calabasas.
She didn't feel like she fit in. She didn't, which, you know, I grew up with very wealthy kids. Mm. And I grew up in the lower middle class, like poverty. But I relate to that. But I then didn't go and rob them.
No.
Because I wanted to be like them.
You
know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's, and this is what one of the attorneys was saying. She's like, I had it worse than they did. And a lot of people don't end up doing that.
Yeah.
You know, just because they want to be one of the popular kids.
But by
the
way,
that's basically high school.
Who can afford drugs when you're in high school? I am always shocked by when people are like, oh, I had a cocaine problem in high school. I'm like, where did you get the money?
Yeah.
How do people, I guess that she was stealing crisp $100 bills out of her mom's closet?
I just like that you just had to go through that and say crisp $100 bills out of her mom's
closet. Why? Because that was part of the story. So it wasn't like,
oh, yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, stripper dancer money. that's well, like crinkly.
But I think the thing is that obviously she said she liked the high of that. Mm-hmm. She liked that feeling. It gave her a purpose. It gave her something, you know, to look forward to. She didn't like who she was. She wanted to be something else.
Right. Which I think a lot of us feel at some point in our life. Especially when you're young.
Yeah.
But for that doesn't mean you should break into Paris Hilton's house and steal $2 million.
Well, she said that what we're getting ahead of ourselves, Cheryl, which now I'm going to do what you do to me all the time. I'm going to take you back a sec. Because she was with her friend when she was at Calabasas High. They went into the locker room. They saw two pairs of Uggs. Mm-hmm. And they took off their shoes. They put on the Uggs. They left. They came back. They called her into the office to say, did you steal the Uggs? She said, no. Her friend said, yes, we did. And then they said, well, we know you're lying, so we're going to kicking you out of Calabasas High, and you're going to go to the
continuation
bad school.
Which, by the way, I've never heard of a continuation school.
Neither have I. It's for a school for troubled kids, is how it was described. Yeah. Like, so she went there, and that's where she met Nick Prugo. And that's when she said, that's when everything went wrong.
Right.
Because she held on to the lie about the Uggs. Which this is all very champagne problems.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm lying about Uggs. It's like she wasn't like she was stealing food because she was going hungry.
Right.
She stole Uggs because she wanted to be cool. And they thought that was a huge problem and sent her to the school for troubled kids.
I thought that was a weird leap too.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, when she talks about meeting Nick, and she said they became best friends. And then she said they would ride the trolley home every day. I was like, what is happening in Calabasas where kids are riding
a trolley. I didn't know there was a trolley
in Calabasas.
I've
never seen a trolley. And who's riding a trolley home from school in Calabasas? By the way, have you spent any time in Calabasas?
Very little.
It's like going back in time. It's like
Is it like the 80s?
Yeah. And you're just like, what's happening here?
I loved it when she said the worst car at our school was a Jetta.
Yeah.
And I was like, I drove a Jetta when I first came to Los Angeles.
Rachel, we got to take a break.
Oh, God. We got to take a break. You guys, we'll be right back with more stuff on the ringleader, the mastermind, the ringleader of the blingling, the blingling. Oh. That's not right.
The ringleader.
The ringleader.
Of the bling ring.
On Max.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Rachel, we're back, and there's so... Listen, you're not going to be able to say this word for word. This is what you have to know about.
No, I'm not. I know, I'm already skipping around like crazy.
Yeah, okay.
So we talk about Nick Prugo. Basically, we've established he meets Nick Prugo. Rachel Lee meets Nick Prugo at Indian Hills. They start doing crazy stuff like pointing a fake gun at people. Like they...
Yeah, that's...
Like paint something...
I didn't even understand that either because they said, we painted a gun black.
You mean you painted a fake gun? She should have said like a fake... gun black or like wooden something.
I was like, well,
and they just thought it was funny.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
And they started, so they were dangerous, like they were adrenaline junkies, and that they wanted to get, they liked the thrill, of
terrorizing.
And so
people.
Then,
yes,
right. So it started out where they were checking cars, seeing what they could find. Then they started checking mailboxes. They robbed one of Nick's friend's parents for $28,000, which is
insane. By the way, Yes. I have a lot of questions about this situation.
And how they stole that from their friends?
Well, no. It's the guy that they stole it from.
Oh, yeah. Him. Yeah.
So we need to talk about him, but we can wait.
Okay.
If you feel like we should wait.
No, let's talk about him. Let's talk about him because it's timely.
Well, because
it's right here.
Well, no, because then it kind of skips ahead. But at the end of this documentary, he was like, basically like, you guys, remember me?
Yeah.
I was Nick's friend and he stole stuff from me and I'm trying to get some attention here. I've called lots of shows and nobody wants to talk to me.
Yeah, I tried to talk to Ellen.
Yeah.
He really wanted to be on Ellen.
He really wanted to make a name for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it really made me laugh that he was very open about it.
A lot of opportunists.
Yeah, and he was like, I'm going to make sure that people know who I am. And I'm not going to rest until I get my side of the story out. And then I like that the director asked, would he ever be friends with Nick again? And he said, probably not, but I'd, go eat sushi with him.
Which is so disgusting and bougie. And so no, I wouldn't be friends with him, but I'd go eat sushi with him.
It's like, what?
No. Just say, I'd have a conversation with him.
Yeah.
But no.
And then I guess he did do some
I'm so
YouTube.
Surprised that he didn't just go, by the way, Nick, if you're out there and you see this, let's grab sushi.
You know Nick has watched this like 100 times. And then that guy has watched it 500 times.
And he's put a reel together of it and sent it to people and say, listen, I'm available.
Reel.
If we can meet.
If anybody wants to talk about the Bling Ring some more.
And I'd love to be on a reality show.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's contacted Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
All of it.
Big Brother. Okay, moving on. Okay, skipping ahead.
Okay, moving on. So here we are. A website called Celebrity Access Ariel was the thing that got them to figure out all the addresses of these famous people. And they started, the first celebrity robbery was of Paris Hilton in 2008. And Paris was known, just so if anybody listening to this doesn't know who Paris Hilton is, Paris was known for saying, that's hot. And wearing her Uggs and holding her dog Tinkerbell was an iconic image.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids aspired to be just like her.
That's why they stole.
This is what's amazing, is that they go to Paris Hilton's to rob her house. They go up and they're like, well, we know she's not there because we know she's away on business because of social media. And that was actually, the cops had said, this is probably the first social media crime that they've ever found where somebody used social media to rob people to figure out when they wouldn't be home.
Yeah.
So they go to Paris Hilton's house. They pull up the doormat. They're like, maybe the key's under. And there was a key under Paris Hilton's doormat that let them in the front door.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm not judging that because I've done it plenty. But
robbers at Cheryl's house. Key under the mat.
But they went back a few times and kept robbing Paris.
Because the first time they did it in a way that they said she's not going to notice this.
Right, because she has so much stuff. But by the way, that's still not, it's not okay.
The thing too is getting back to Rachel, she was like, this was giving me such a high. It was like such a rush.
Mm-hmm.
And that she felt scared when she got up there. But then when they were inside, it was like, oh my gosh, we got the stuff. And then I kept thinking she was going to say after she left, she was filled with guilt.
Right.
And shame.
Yeah, right.
And she's like, nope. Mm-mm. I felt relieved and happy that we got out of there. And I'm like, that's an addict.
Not only that, but then these kids would post up on their social media, like wearing Paris Hilton's sweater.
Necklace.
And they'd say, this is Paris's. And it's like, oh my God, you're all nutballs. Did you feel like that when you were watching
it? I think the word was brazen. I just remember her also, they were like very brazen nutballs about it. But the thing that I found fascinating was that she kept saying she had FOMO. And she had a fear of missing out. So she was like trying to not do the robberies.
Right.
But then she'd hear that they were going to do the robberies. Right. I mean, Cheryl, I don't know about you, but my FOMO when I was in high school was, oh, man, they're going to Dairy Queen.
They're going to Shawna without me. I'm going anyway.
Yeah, I'm going. Oh, and by the way, quick update. My best friend from high school, Natalie Garvin, she and I have been texting. She's laughing so hard because she's listening to the podcast. And she was like, Rachel, it wasn't Journey. We didn't see Journey. We saw Sha Na Na and Survivor.
Survivor. And I have Survivor pictures. Even sing?
Rising up straight to the top. See the glory. Justice, will, and zeal to survive. Eye of the Tiger. Eye of the Tiger.
That was their one.
20 minutes to get to Eye of the Tiger. I did a cheerleading routine to Eye of the Tiger.
You must have been peeing in your pants when you saw him in person.
Oh, dying. And I have pictures of it, Cheryl. And let's just say I looked older then than I do now.
Will you please, can we post one of the pictures on our Instagram?
Well, Natalie said to me, she goes, I'm dying to find a picture of us in Survivor. And I said, oh, I have it. And I said, it is buried.
Rachel, you have to share it with us.
Oh, Cheryl.
You can put it in the Instagram story. And whoever's watching will just see it for a minute.
But that means that anybody that I am... You know, anyone that I'm attracted to that's in my life right now that I love so much is going to see me.
They will love. They'll love you even more because it's going to be like, wow, Cheryl. Look who she became.
Let's just say it answers a lot of questions. When you see that picture of me, you're like, I get it.
Survivor concert.
She's at the Survivor concert. And then Sha Na Na.
Rachel, I can't.
I think Sha Na Na was first.
Yeah. Of course it was.
But we thought we were the baddest asses seeing Survivor. So my fear of missing out would have been like, oh my God, I'm not missing Survivor at the Ohio State Fair.
And by the way,
what do I have to do to get there?
This,
you know what I mean?
This woman, Rachel Lee, the way she talked about FOMO, she was acting like it was a scientific diagnosis that if someone
someone a psychological diagnosis like she had a pathology.
If you've been diagnosed with FOMO, then it's understandable that you might break into someone's house and steal millions of dollars worth of items. It's like, yeah, she did have FOMO. That's true. She did have FOMO.
They kind of hinted at that. Some of the people were saying living in Calabasas, I think that does fuck you up. You know what I mean? That you're feeling like that, like if you're a kid and you don't have a lot of money, no matter where you live, you always feel like you're less than. It's like, it doesn't matter if you're in Calabasas or if you're in, but I think it's just a different level.
I guess so.
Right? Because they're used to seeing all these kids with designer everything. And they were saying for their 16th birthday, their parents would drive up with a BMW. Right. But when I was in Ohio, the rich kids that I went to school with, they had BMWs.
Yeah.
They had beautiful cars.
Yeah. And you still didn't steal their Uggs.
That's right. I didn't steal their Uggs.
Maybe there's something about at the time, if you know that Paris Hilton is just down the street.
And you
need
access.
Yeah. Then it's like, and the access to, I want that.
And you have their address and you know where they are social media wise. They have access to a lot more than you did back then.
That's so terrible. But what was interesting about this documentary is that in the previous documentary, what you see is these kids end up becoming famous. Like this Nick, he went on TV shows. People wanted to talk to him. This other girl,
Alexis Nyers.
Nyers. She got her own TV show called Pretty Wild.
But I think she got her show prior to that because she was arrested during the filming for that pilot.
But also, I mean, people must have known that she was a shit show.
But the thing, okay, can we get to this point? Because this is one of the greatest things ever. Is that Nancy Jo Sales wrote a big story for Vanity Fair titled The Suspects Wore Louboutins. And, and Alexis got upset at Nancy Jo for incorrectly describing the footwear she wore to court.
I did not understand what was happening. Did you see footage of Alexis leaving a message on Nancy Jo's machine and she's so upset she can't even get through the message?
Yeah.
I was not wearing Louboutins. That's not what I was wearing. I don't even remember what she said she was wearing. Oh, kitten heels.
I don't even remember what she said.
Kitten heels.
Kitten heels. And who wants to admit to that?
I don't know.
And also, she was like, I was wearing kitten heels. They weren't Louboutins. They weren't stilettos. There was no red bottom. She didn't say that, but that's what I'm imagining she had in mind.
Who gives a flying fuckball?
Priorities, Cheryl. Priorities.
Priorities.
She wanted to be correctly identified. You know what I mean? She wanted She didn't want there to be any confusion that she was not wearing little Louboutins. A kitten heel.
A kitten heel.
Gross.
Okay, I just have to say this.
Have you ever worn a kitten heel?
Well, I have after my bunion surgery.
Gross.
It's U.S. I didn't want to say it. I wasn't
going
to say
it. But I think I even bought you a pair of shoes that weren't a curtain. It was a chunky heel, but they were like a lower shoe.
Yeah, but that's not a kitten heel.
That's not a kitten.
Like a kitten heel is tiny.
It's a tiny little heel that's like this big, and it's like, why bother? Because as being someone who's 5'1", I'm like, that's not going to give me the height that
you.
I need, that kitten heel.
It doesn't help.
It's just like a tease. And it also, you trip on them because you realize you're not wearing flip-flops. But it feels like a flip-flop because it's so low to the ground. You're welcome.
You hate kitten heels.
This is Rachel Harris, and this is Footwear Today. All right.
Wait, I just want to say one thing.
Yes, please.
So this whole thing with Rachel, right? We see these other kids. They got famous. You know, they also stole from people. They got famous. And then Rachel, I mean, are we allowed to say that she went to prison?
Yeah.
Okay. So she did go to prison.
Let's just go.
For 4 years.
Yeah.
And when Erin, I'm assuming, is the one that was interviewing her, she said to Rachel Lee, she said, so you would steal things and then sell it. And Rachel said, I never sold anything.
Yeah.
And then she said, well, what about like the stuff
what
that
about
you sold?
Venice.
And she goes, oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, I definitely sold a lot of stuff in Venice.
On Venice. Yeah.
And it was like.
And it's like, guess what? Your credibility just went out the window.
It's like, get rid of the crystals.
Why?
They're not helping you.
They're not working. They're not helping you. Or start taking some ginkgo biloba.
Oh, what does ginkgo biloba do?
It helps you with your memory.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have you ever taken it?
No. But maybe I need to. Should I?
I think we both should probably start eating more ginkgo biloba.
Ginkgo biloba.
What is it called?
I have no idea.
What's it called?
Ginkgo biloba?
Ginkgo biloba.
I'll never be able to say that word.
Okay.
Ginkgo biloba. Okay.
I love that Rachel diagnoses herself, though, and she says she's a sociopath. She says she was a sociopath at the time of the crime. She also says she feels like she was one of Nick's victims.
Right.
Now, call me crazy.
Hey, crazy.
Once a sociopath, always a sociopath.
It does right. seem like it would be hard.
It's not like it come and goes.
To change that about yourself.
Yes.
Oh, now I get it. Because
hold on.
She said, I used to not care about anything or anybody. But now she does because that's why she was washing the windows.
Oh, is that what? And she cares.
Cares. About other things.
About being able to see through glass.
Oh, okay. By the way, I do have to say this because, okay, the rich guy who got robbed by Rachel and Nick early on, the one that can't get any heat from this.
Yes.
His name is...
He can't get any heat.
His name
just
is
can't.
Eden Chisel Maimon. I was reading between the lines with this filmmaker because when Chisel was saying, what I really want is an apology from Nick and Rachel. Cut to Rachel on her tiny stool or whatever she was sitting on.
On her meditation pad.
With the crystals. You know that filmmaker just said that to Rachel. And then Rachel said, you know that she just said, even though we didn't hear it, would you like to apologize to Nick? Because then Rachel said, I did hurt people. That was as close as she came to an apology.
To an apology. She wasn't even going to give him that.
Mm-mm.
He couldn't even eke that out.
Mm-mm. She but couldn't he, yeah. even say, I'm sorry, Shizzle.
No, I'm sorry, Shizzle.
I'm sorry, Shizzle. That was rude.
Yeah. This is what was also weird to me is that we didn't really get into this, but the detective on all the people that were covering the case when it went to trial, they really got off on the celebrity of it.
Yeah.
And I love that when Sofia Coppola started shooting The Bling Ring, Alexis Nyers and the cop Brett Goodkin were consultants on the film. Brett even made a cameo arresting Emma Watson. Brett did not disclose getting paid.
Which, by the way, this moment also killed me because somebody asked him, were you in this film? And he said no. But he knows he was because he just shot the film. So what kind of a liar is that? That's a terrible lie. I mean, you can't even get away with that lie. It's like, oh, when we see the film, we will see your face on the screen.
No.
Oh, yeah. Rachel. And because he did that, he could not testify in these other cases that weren't settled yet. Meanwhile, Rachel Lee is doing hard time in Malibu. And now she's out of prison.
She said she has fond memories of her release from prison.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so final segment. Are you ready for final thoughts?
Yes.
Okay. It's time for happily ever thoughts. Wait, it's time for happily ever after thoughts. This is where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Okay, so Cheryl, did you cry?
I did not. Mm-hmm. Did you cry, Rachel?
No, I did not.
When she got out of prison and they were at the gate saying, don't come back here, bitch. We'll kill you if you come back. But they were doing it sweetly.
Yeah.
No tears.
Mm-mm. But I just was like, I think the whole tone of the film made me just kind of dead inside. Okay.
This is a film that you're happy when it's over.
Yeah. I found it interesting. It was like a history lesson, you know?
It was like a pop culture history lesson.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Who were you attracted to, Cheryl?
This is a real tough one.
Yeah.
There was one of the lady cops was cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll go with the lady. Oh, I think she was an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with her.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How about you?
I was definitely attracted to Rachel's father.
He was kind of cute.
I'm kidding.
Oh, I'm not kidding.
No, the addict. Al-Anon in me was attracted to the addict. I was like physically attracted to him. It was physiological. Like, he's dangerous. No, I really wasn't attracted to anyone in the film.
Rachel.
Do I not get to say that? Do I have to find someone?
No, you have to pick somebody.
Ugh.
The world's about to end and you're in an elevator with somebody from this film and you have 2 minutes to...
2 minutes in heaven.
2 minutes in heaven.
Okay.
I mean, I did like Rachel Lee's dad. I thought he was cute.
He was cute.
The ponytail?
Yeah, you know what? Out of all of them, I'm not attracted to like the young...
Nick
or
Shizzle.
No. No, neither one of them.
I wish you would say Shizzle so badly.
Shizzle. Yeah, I wish you'd been like, hey, so I'm Shizzle. I just wanted to see him at Starbucks. And they're like, what's your name?
Like you
what's your name on the cup? And he's like, Shizzle. And they're like, right. And they finish making his vanilla latte. They're like, Shizzle.
His decaf vanilla latte. Shizzle.
With oat milk. Shizzle. Okay, who was I attracted to? Who do I? I'm just going to say her dad because he's age appropriate, and he.
And you could change him. You could turn him around.
God knows I love a project.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Now there's a chance for True Story Talkback. Anything to say?
I wish all these Bling Ring participants would move on. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
We don't need to see another movie about the Bling Ring. I don't need to have another conversation. I don't need to talk about it. I don't need to hear about it. I promise you, Rachel Lee, if I walked into your salon, I would not bring it up if I recognized you.
Okay, that's good. All right, good.
Do you have anything that you want to say?
I want to say if I saw Shizzle, I would say Shizzle. Just contact Bravo. Reach out to
Shizzle
Bravo.
Has.
He wants to be on a television show so bad.
He needs to pivot.
But yeah, in all honesty, I hope that they all learn something and that they're able to put it behind them and look at why they did it. And I think it's attention seeking. I think it's low self-esteem. I think some of them grew up in alcoholic homes and addiction. Mm. And I'm hoping that they're healing from all that. That would be my final thought.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you. That's all for this week's episode. Next week, we'll be talking about Still, Michael J. Fox on Apple TV. But wait, but before we go, should we read some true fan mail?
I wish you would.
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay. Jessica writes, hello, ladies. Just listened to the Wham! Episode. And as a woman with a leg birthmark and bunions, I've never felt more seen. Your podcast is really making national headlines. That's amazing. Welcome to the show, Rachel, and thanks for always making me laugh.
Oh,
that's the greatest.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you, Jessica. We love this. All right.
I like her birthmark and bunions.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
I love it. I love so much. Let's just bring back birthmarks, you know? And bunions.
You can.
Birthmarks and bunions.
I just got rid of my bunions.
I know, but if we ever want to rename this show from True Story,
we'll call it
Birthmarks and bunions. I love it. Okay. Yeah. So Corey writes, "Hi, Cheryl and Rachel. I am loving True Story. I was a huge fan of Tig and Cheryl True Story and was sad Tig announced that she was leaving. However, in all caps, Cheryl and Rachel are hysterical and have amazing rapport. And then in parentheses, makes sense as their buds."
No.
I like to say BFFs. Okay.
And Biffles?
Biffles. Yeah, Biffles. Okay. Not BFFs, but
really
Biffles.
Hoping that catches.
We're gonna hope that takes off. I continue to look forward to Mondays to hear the new pod. So thank you. I wanted to say to Cheryl that I know you hate a spoiler alert, and I respect that. But so far, I don't think Rachel has been spoiling anything. Woo! Oh. I love her little transitions from chit-chat to the doc.
Mm.
You're both doing great and making me smile. Oh, that's so sweet. I love it. See? Okay. Also, we'd love to hear from you guys. Email us at truestoryfanmail@gmail.com. So Shirley.
Yeah.
Anything to promote?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I wanted to just remind everybody about Hines and Young, which is a self-care company that I started with my daughter, Catherine, and Dr. Becky Hines helps me out on, and my brother, Mike. But here's the exciting part. I talked to Becky, Dr. Becky, and we're going to do a 20% off for our listeners. So if you go to Shop Hines Young, you'll see all our stuff. We've got great candles and great body creams. Anyway, and type in True Story 20. And you'll get a 20% discount.
Is that the promo
for a limited time?
The promo code area? Like, do you have a promo code area?
Yeah. True Story 20. And we're only going to say this on air, and we'll probably put it on Instagram, but it's a secret. We don't want the whole world getting 20% off.
But,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
But we want our listeners to get 20% off.
Would I get 20% off?
Maybe.
Oh, okay.
We'll see.
All right, we'll see. Guess what everybody's getting for Christmas? Yahoo!
Yahoo! Yay. All right, Rach, that's going to do it.
Oh, that's going to do it. All right, thanks so much for listening, everyone. I'll call you tonight.
I'll call you tonight. I'll call you tonight. True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Rachel Harris. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with production assistance from Nadia Labetz. Special thanks to Gabby Kovacic, Patrick McDonald, and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story wherever you get your podcasts. You can email us at truestoryfanmail@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.